Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. It is so good and precious to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, on the news this week, we've been covering a lot of, you know, hanging on the fringe of disaster in America here. And today, though, we have this moment where, you know, it is sun shining outside, and we're thankful for today. Like Pastor's sermon last week, you know, let's be thankful while we can. You know, be thankful for the good things and the days that the Lord has given us of a stay of execution type of deal. It's the truth, you know. We just thank the Lord that, you know, we have had this country. You know, most of us are older, you know, and we know what this country was. We don't care how, you know, they're trying to paint it on the global scene. We know who we are, and we know where we came from. And we've had the opportunity to live in such a wonderful country, and a country we all fought for and loved. And we're grateful that we got to be a part of her story. You know, the will of the Lord be done. And we did our fasting, you know, a couple of weeks ago to prepare us for the next level. We knew, you know, that something's coming. Everybody can feel it in the atmosphere. And we know we have to have the Lord. We have to have His grace upon us to go through this next deal that we're going through. I just want to take a moment this morning and just thank the Lord, you know, for Him warning us and preparing us all these years and equipping us. And it's just so perfect, you know, Pastor's sermon this morning. It's called The Called, The Chosen, and The Peculiar. You know, it's just so, such an on-time word. Because we are truly set apart, and we will be greatly persecuted because of that. You know, and like we've talked about before, we cannot be ashamed of Paul. We cannot be ashamed of the New Testament. Would you want to say something, Pastor?
No,
All right, I'm going to put you back on mute. We cannot be ashamed of being a Christian. We can't be ashamed of being called a Christian. And, you know, so we're just thankful to the Lord that He warned us, He prepared us. And we can do this. We can do all things through Christ that gave us strength. You know, and just to confirm with you guys again, you know, last year He warned us, you know, to get out of the metaverse. It took us 8 weeks. We all got out and, you know, we got our stuff out of the cloud and we kind of cleaned it up online and got our house in order online. And then, bam. Within 6 months, here it come, AI and the Gideon AI, Gemini AI, Grok, you know, all that stuff came out. And see how good God is. And now He's telling us, okay, y'all are about to go into great persecution. So you've got to be ready for it. Steady your heart, you know, be ready to forgive people. And be ready to love and be ready to keep your mouth shut. Just remember that in your great persecution, keep your mouth shut and let God defend you. Okay, now, the pastor's sermon this morning is called The Called, The Chosen, and The Peculiar People. So there is a couple of songs that we're going to sing this morning. The first one is A Good, Good Father. Most of you know this song, but let's all pray. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your word that You're going to use Pastor for this morning, Lord. We thank You for speaking to him about this all week long. We thank you, Lord, for preparing our hearts and preparing the way, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we do not fear what's coming. We only fear you on how we finish our race. It's not how we began, it's how we finish. And you're helping us, Lord. You're equipping the called. You're equipping the chosen. You're equipping your peculiar people to be able to endure the race and to be able to have the strength to finish that race. And we thank you, Lord, for being such a good, good Father. Anoint this service today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Your good, good Father is who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, and 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. Your good, good Father is who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love. Your good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Isn't God so good? You're such a good, good Father, Lord. Okay, here's one that all of us know from growing up, especially when we went to them old Baptist churches. We used to sing out a hymnal. This is one of them. Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Isn't this beautiful? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending bring from above echoes of whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. All right, before we sing this last verse, I want you to think about Pastor's sermon today, the called, the chosen, and the peculiar. And I want you to think about your life, because a lot of us, we feel peculiar. We're different. We often say we're the island of misfit toys. You know, we're different. We're the remnant. We're chosen. We're unique. But sometimes, if we try to compare ourselves to other people, we can feel little because of that. We can feel less than. But the Lord has created you for your story. And it is meant to be different and unique. And although it may have some sorrow and some bumps and bruises on that road, it's still your story. And don't ever be ashamed of your story, because it's all for His glory. He brought you out, and He has a purpose and destiny for every one of you guys. So as we sing this last one, I want you to think about your story and your journey and how you are different. And you're meant to be that way. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior. Am happy and blessed. We are, ain't we? Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Isn't that beautiful? Sing this with me. This is our story. This is our song. We're praising our Savior all the day long. And we're not ashamed. This is our story. This is our song. We're praising our Savior all the day long. We're praising our Savior all the day long. You know, I think about when God called me to the White House with $9 in a suitcase. I stood there in front of the White House with the key to get in. And I stood there and I said, who am I? I'm a girl that was so abused and came from a family of such brokenness. You know, who am I to walk in here with the best media in the world? I have no money and have no name, no power, no support. Who am I? But then God said, all I need is your foot to go forward. You are in me. That's who you are. And I, with His grace, took the courage to take a step and walk in with all of the ugliness, all of what I look like, all of my lack, all of my negative thinking, stinking thinking of myself, being peculiar, different. But I was chosen for such a time as this. And look what God did. And that's how God is with all of us. We're all chosen, meant to be peculiar, for such a time as this. All right, let's get Pastor on here. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for them songs. God is perfect in all His ways. Amen.
Amen.
And when you talked about this last song that you sung, Blessed Assurance, and you said it's an old song, I thought, wow. So I reached up here by my shelf here. I've got two old Christian hymn books. And this one, I looked it up, and here's the song, Blessed Assurance.
That's cool.
And, you know, it's got the notes, you know, if you've got a piano and whatever and everything in it.
Wow.
But I was looking at it. It's called The Christian Hymns, number 2. It's published by Gospel Advocate Company. 110 7th Avenue, North Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee.
What?
Copyright 1948.
Wow, 1948. That's amazing.
Yep, by the Gospel Advocate Company.
Wow, from Nashville too.
Yeah, but it's got 452 songs in it.
Wow.
And then in the back, it's got a topical index. For instance, songs about account, or songs about being anchored, or assurance. Songs about atonement, songs about baptism, Bible, blessings, songs about the burdens, children's songs.
That's awesome, man.
But it's got an index, and there's more, just, you know, topical index about different songs and topics, you know. And so, pretty cool book. And then the other one I got two of them. This one ain't as old. It's only copyright, let's see here, 71 to 75, but it's the price was $3.75 for this book.
That is funny.
But it's got 700, let me think here, yeah, over 729 songs in it. And these are both old hardcover books, song books.
Yes. Well, now I got a hymnal. Yay.
Yeah, with the notes and everything. So pretty
That's
cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I got them probably at a thrift store for $2 or who knows.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll carry on here. This week just flew by. That's for sure.
Yeah.
let's see. At the beginning of the week, I guess, was the, I tore down the last little barn that was on this farm, and that it was falling in, and I saved all the old wood that was good in the tin on the top. And when I made the lean-to off the chicken hut today, this week, I used a bunch of that wood, and I used some of the tin for the roof. And so we salvaged what we can, and I stacked the rest of the wood up and real nice and everything, and got it for if I need it for anything else. And so that's kind of what I did this week, just worked on that and got the new lean-to chicken off the chicken hut done and everything. And but seems like I didn't do nothing this week, it just went flew by. But that's what we got done today or this week. So I guess I want to talk about this just a little bit. I'm just going to give, I've got a bunch of scriptures, but that word peculiar always caught my eye. And earlier this week, you know, when I was reading in 1 Peter 2:9, and it brought up that word, and I'm like, well, I'm going to look up more on that. Just, you know, this is just for myself. I never even thought about to share this with anybody, but, and so it took me down this journey, just a bunch of scriptures about, you know, God's own people, you know, and his chosen people or his called people, you know, he's called us all. So, but anyway, we'll get going on that. And I just want to turn to, let me think here, Psalm 105. We'll start there. And Psalm 105 is about God's wondrous works in behalf of Israel, okay? And I just want to read down just the first 9-10 verses. And there's a couple words that really stuck out to me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. That word evermore, continually. You know, we need to seek the Lord. Verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. There's that word chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever and the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. And that verse here, verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever. You know, it's not just for the Old Testament times, it's forever. And then it says, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. You know, and I don't do the math or anything like that, but that's a long time. You know, from this time this was written until now, I don't know how many generations that is, but that's a lot of generations. And again, it's not just for the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament was the Old Covenant, and now we're in the New Covenant, so it goes right into the New Covenant, the way I am reading this. Amen. So let's go to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Is about the greatness of the Lord and the vanity of idols. And it seems to me that every day we have another idol popping up. You know, some man or something that they're making out to be way more than what he is. The deception, and that's a word we're going to talk about here. But this psalm is about the greatness of the Lord and the vanity of idols. Now, I just want to read, well, verse 6, wait a minute here, verse 4, I guess, is the main verse, but I'm going to read down to verse 8. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. But here again, you know, he, verse 4, the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. And this word peculiar, you know, in Hebrew, and I can't even pronounce it, sigole or something like that, it means wealth. Okay, the term, the Hebrew term does not signify property in general, but valuable property, which is laid by or put aside, hence a treasure, you know, a treasure of gold or silver, 1 Chronicles 29:3, Ecclesiastes 2:8. You know, Jehovah had chosen Israel as his costly possession out of all nations of the earth, because the whole earth was his possession, and all nations belonged to him as creator and preserver. Okay. In Titus 2:14, peculiar is the rendering of the Greek word per, I can't even pronounce this word, but it means special, which means that which is peculiarly one's own. So, you know, we're all called to be, you know, his own. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And, you know, 1 Peter, you know, this epistle may have been written from Rome at the time of the outbreak of the Neronian persecution in AD 64, you know, when Nero was, you know, ruling, reigning. So to deflect the blame, Nero accused Christians of starting the fire. You know, there was this great fire of Rome, and the emperor Nero, you know, he took this time and, you know, he blamed it on the Christians. You know, they started this fire, you know. And this marked a significant moment that highlighted the persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. You know, they got blamed for the fire. And so they were being persecuted. And it's interesting, too, because Christians weren't only persecuted, they were executed in brutal ways, you know, including burning alive. They were burned alive and fed to wild animals. You know, it was a really time of bad things going on for Christians, okay? So, anyway, this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth, whoops, wait a minute. I mean 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 Peter, there we go. Chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Remember when we were reading them Psalms about, you know, the peculiar people, the chosen, you know, he chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar people and all this. Well, again, that was old covenant. This is new covenant. And he still has, you know, he's called, you know, he still has chosen people. But ye are a chosen generation. Remember, he said that ye are for 1,000 generations. So here we are. You know, he still has his peculiar people. Amen. Um, And it's interesting here, when I was looking up some stuff about this here in 1 Peter, where it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And, you know, I got my little Bible dictionary and I'm looking up these words, and it says, and it said in there, what is the difference between holy priesthood and royal priesthood? The holy priesthood, we offer spiritual sacrifices to God and bring man to God. As royal priest, we tell out the virtues of God, bring God to man, and care for man according to God. And so, well, what's that word virtue? You know, we tell out the virtues of God. You know, and that word is means like moral excellence. You know, it's about your thoughts and your feelings and your actions, you know, the moral goodness, modesty, and purity. So we're to, you know, we're to talk to people about God, his virtues, is how I'm seeing this. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Oops, went by it. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, as peculiar people, or the chosen, are called of God, you know, these are the things that we need to be thinking on, you know. I want to go up to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And it's always interesting, just about all the things that we've been reading here, it always talks about rejoicing in the Lord, or giving the Lord praise. Then it carries, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And let's stop there. That word moderation, this is King James Version. It means self-control. And with all the crazy stuff going on, and like June was saying, you know, the persecution that we see coming, and the stuff that's going to be coming against us, you know, we're going to have self-control. We're going to have to, to stay calm, cool, and collective. You know, we're going to want to gather our thoughts up and think about things before we just spew out a bunch of stuff. You know, we're going to have to let, like June keeps teaching us, you know, we have to let God be God. We have to let him protect us, or let him, you know, his word. So let your moderation be known unto all men, you know, because we may be getting persecuted by this guy or this group of people, but look at the people on the sideline that might be watching this and seeing us. You know, how are we going to conduct, you know, how are we going to act, and what are we going to do, you know? We have to have self-control because we're an example. You know, we need to represent, you know, we're ambassadors. I didn't look that scripture. This is just coming to me now, but we're ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's verse 7. There's one of my favorite scriptures, you know. And I like to read it, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we need him to guard over our hearts, to keep all that darkness and evil that we see, the deception, this great delusion that we're living in today. You know, we need to have our hearts guarded. You know, and this peace that we have, that peace is what's going to guard over our hearts, because no matter all this craziness and whatever's going on in the world out here, we got to have his peace to guard over our hearts, that we can have this self-control. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, verse 8. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, moral excellence, goodness, kindness. In Hebrew, that word means strength, ability, moral worth. In Greek, it means any excellence of a person or thing, dynamis, power, influence. You know, we have to have the power of God in these times, you know, to guard over our hearts and give, help us have that self-control and keep our thoughts, you know, think on these things. You know, are we standing fast in the Lord? Let's go up here to verse 1. It says, therefore, and this is Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Are we standing fast? Are we holding our ground, looking out there, being aware of what's going on, taking an account of this and that? Verse 2, I beseech you, I can't even pronounce this, I don't know how to pronounce that word, and beseech that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, are we of the same mind in the Lord? Are we sober-minded? Verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You know, are we laboring with other people who are like-minded as us? Are we helping them, or, and, you know, trying to fellowship with like-minded people? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Are we rejoicing in the Lord? Even in bad times, good times, we need to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Again, self-control be known unto all men. You know, we have to think about that. All the stuff happening and coming against the bride. How the world is looking at us. We got to keep our cool. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Let's turn to Psalm 55 quickly here. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. You know, be careful for nothing. Give it to the Lord. He'll lift them burdens. Let's turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs, 16. Verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, we have to commit everything unto the Lord, you know, in all things. Amen. Verse, I want to jump across here. I got this highlighted, I thought. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto them that have it, but the instruction of the fools is folly. You know, we're getting a lot of instructions out there from foolish people, I believe. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and the adding learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Amen. Amen. So, going back to Philippians chapter 4, you know, what are we thinking on? Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, you know, we got to remember, you know, here in 2 Peter there, he warns us so much, you know, he condemns the spirit of lawlessness and false teaching. You know, he's given the churches warning against, you know, the heresy that a Christian does not have, you know, that a Christian doesn't have to be moral. You know, he was, to me, a watchman. He was seeing what's going on out there, and he was warning the people, you know. And it also, you know, Peter's antidote for this poison, you might say, is to urge a growth in Christian virtues. What we were just talking about as the most successful method of destroying such false teachings. And, you know, we see that all across the board today. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, I just want to read the first 11 verses. Simon Peter, servant of an apostle, Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to stop there and just say hallelujah to them that have obtained like precious faith. You know, we were talking about like-minded. You know, the chosen, you might say, you know, the called. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, according as it says here in verse 3, according as his divine power. And what did we say? Power. In Greek, virtue means power. It means manliness, strength. You know, that's where they got the word dynamite, dynamis, you know. So, and this divine power of God, you know, or by God or from God, you know, it's sacred, it's holy. Amen. Verse 4, thereby we are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, and when I was reading this and thinking about it, what does he say here? That by these great precious promises, ye might be. He didn't say ye are. He's saying ye might be partakers of the divine nature, you know. So he's hoping, you know, he sure hopes that all these people that he's talking to, that they're making a choice, you know, they've been called, or are they choosing to be this peculiar people, to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And let's just read on. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. There's that word again. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge what? Of God's word and the truth. And to knowledge, temperance. There it is, that self-control. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. You know, that patience, you could say, enduring. Enduring all this that may be coming against us. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wow, that's sad, ain't it? He was forgot, you know, he forgot that he was purged, cleansed from his old sins. And what did he do? He probably went back to them old ways. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, there's that word again, to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Is that not a warning? Give diligence. To make your calling and election sure. You know, your relationship with God, so that you won't stumble. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Let's go back a few pages here to 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's go down. And, you know, in this first part of chapter 3, he's talking about the behavior of wives and husbands, okay? But I'm not going to read all that. I just want to jump down to verse 7. Likewise, you know, so the first six verses he was talking about behavior of wives and husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, we don't want our prayers hindered. Finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. There again, he's talking about be ye all of one mind. Be sober-minded, you know. What are you thinking on, you know? Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. Amen. We have to know that we're called of God to live virtuous lives. You know, being of sober mind and looking out there, see what's going on, not getting led astray. You know, because when you are, you're not going to inherit the blessings that you really should be able to. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And that word guile in my Bible here, next to it reference, it says deceit. You know, we're to refrain our tongue from evil and our lips that they speak no deceit. And we very clearly can see that all over the board today. Half truths, that is deception. That is deceit. That's lying. You know. People are not accepting the truth. People are getting their ears itched. You know, tickled, you might say. They just want to hear what's, you know, what tickles their ears and makes them feel good and all that. They don't want the truth. They just want to hear the half-truths of everything. what I call willingly ignorant of the truth. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. Well, let's just go up to verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Yeah, unto fables, fiction, not the truth. You know, he, and it's interesting, he says here, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. What's that mean? Reprove. It means to expose, convict someone of their sin or fault with the goal of correction and spiritual growth rather than mere punishment. And what does rebuke mean? It means to express stern disapproval or to reprimand or to restrain by a strong warning or admonishment. You know, we can't approve the stuff that we're seeing going on. Exhort, strongly encouraging, or urge someone to do something. To do something what? To do something that is right. You know, that is right in God's eyes. You know. With, then it says, with long suffering, you know, we're to, I guess the word comes up to me, compassion, you know, on these people. They're, you know, they're slipping, they're falling from their calling, you might say. You know, he's warning us. Let's turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. And here, you know, Exodus in Greek means departure or going out. You know, Moses was the first, was first prepared, and then he, in power of God, you know, was delivered. Redemption from the power of Egypt is more than just a release from slavery. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt that he might bring them as his own prepared people into the promised land. Hallelujah. You know, the theme of Exodus is not simply God's redemptive act, but his adoption and constitution of Israel as the people of God. You know, the Exodus message, you know, the influence of Exodus on the religion and life of Israel is beyond imagination. The Bible's redemptive message is rooted in the covenant of Exodus. When God called a slave people out of Egypt and made them a nation for his purpose of redemption in the world, He revealed himself as Lord of history and the Redeemer of those who call upon him. Amen. Woo. You know, the Exodus is the central event of the Old Testament, just as the cross is in the New Testament for us today. Amen. You know, Exodus 19, you know, let's read, I want to read verses 4. And this is Israel on Mount Sinai, okay? And, you know, this is after the wilderness, you know, and all that they went through and everything. And but verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You know, he's reminding him, you know, look what I've done. Look what the Lord has done for you. You know, he brought you to himself. I bear you on eagle's wings. Now, therefore, if there's that big word, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Whew. Just write your name right there. Amen. Let's read on just a couple of verses. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses turned and the words, Moses returned and the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And I want to stop there and point a couple words out here. In verse 10, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto thy people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. You know, wash your clothes, get cleaned up for this big event. And for us today, the next big event, the coming of the Lord, you know, we're to sanctify ourselves. We're to set ourselves apart from all this of the world. Amen. Verse 11, I thought this was pretty cool. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all people upon the Mount Sinai. And I thought about that third day. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. To me, that's like the beginning of the new covenant. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28 through 31, I want to read. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that's for us today, man. We, you know, have we... You know, hast thou not known? We know our God. He is awesome. He is a good God. I mean, he's just, you know, is so powerful. I mean, we just, you know, got to really get to know him, because he gives power to the faint. Remember, he'll lift your burdens. You know, we have to give it all to him. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And I love this in Romans chapter 8. And we're just going to read down the first 18 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And just put your name in there. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me, Dennis Weir, free from the law of sin and death, sickness, disease, calamity. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against each one of us peculiar people. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sendeth his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit. For those who are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for that peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, the peculiar people, the remnant, the chosen, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. in me, Dennis Weir, in each of you out there that hear this message today, that those peculiar people, those chosen, those called. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. For ye have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are the peculiar people. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. You know, some of us are going to be suffering. Persecution is on its way. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Boy, we need to get that down in us. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, we have to have that hope, that eager hope, that earnest expectation. You know, Christ is on his way. Woo! Come quickly, Lord. Amen. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Those peculiar people. Look at that word. That word's going to take on a whole new meaning. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only then, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen there, huh? No more sickness, no more disease, no more ache in my lower back and my neck. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to his will. According to the will of God, I should say. Amen. You know, I'm going to stop there, but, you know, we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, verse 37. For we are persuaded, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, in Titus 2:11 through 15, let's just turn to Titus quick. Just got last couple verses here. In Titus chapter 2, give you a minute to get there. You know, peculiar in the rendering of the Greek word special, again, which means that which is peculiarly one's own. And here it is, Titus 3, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of the work of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke, and with all authority let no man despise thee. Amen. We just thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed from all iniquity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My last verse for today is in Matthew 13. I should say last two verses. Matthew 13. Verses 45 and 46. And this is the parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, this merchant is the Lord, seeking godly pearls, or goodly pearls. Pearls, I guess, excuse me. That's us. Amen. You know, with a great price, the price on that cross, for all those who have been called and made a choice to accept what Jesus did on that cross for you. You know, to be born again and know that he died on that cross for each one of us. All that he went through on Calvary, that path going up to Calvary on the cross. He died for our sins. But on that third day, he rose again. Now sits at the right hand of the Father, makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word will give us strength and encouragement to carry on, Lord. We thank you that we are a peculiar people. The world looks at us differently, Lord, and we look at them differently. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to be your peculiar people, that other people would see what we have, that they would see the peace that surpasses all understanding in us, Lord. And they would see that peace, and they're going to want some of that peace. because they're living out here in the world of chaos and destruction and death. But Lord, just help us to keep calm, cool, and collective, Lord. Help us to be of like-minded, to be Christ-minded, that we can take hold of other people's hand, Lord, and lead them to you and guide them, Lord, on that path of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor and praise today, Lord. We just can't thank you enough, Lord, for what you've all done for us, Lord. You've provided all our needs. And we'll continue to provide all our needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus, Lord. So we give you the glory and the honor and the praise today, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for strength to carry on. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your love, Lord, upon each person that hears this message, Lord, and draw them to you, Lord. Open their hearts to receive the Spirit, to receive your Spirit, Lord, that will guide them, lead them on the everlasting path, that narrow path, Lord. It's a rugged path. It's not an easy path, Lord, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We can be set free from all that comes against us, that won't tries to deter us over to that big wide path of the world, Lord. But with your Spirit, Lord, guide us, each one of us, Lord. And so we just thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope everybody will have a great day. Dig into the Word and draw comfort, because you know Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You know, we don't live in the valley of the shadow of death. We're going through it. Amen. And the Lord's rod and staff, they'll guide us and comfort us through, you know, all the things that we're going through. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. That was really good, because we have to know that it's okay to be unique. You know, it's okay to be called of the Lord, because it does come with a price.
Yes.
I mean, the rejection of the world, the rejection of people, you know, it comes at a price.
Yes, it does.
So, and it's okay. So, well, thank you so much, Pastor, for everything. And Brad, we love you guys, and we will see you tomorrow for the prayer call. Have a good day. God bless.